Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Levi Guerra, who is the owner of Outrageous Advertising, which was founded in 2008. Outrageous Advertising is a boutique-style agency with a passion for transparency, customer education, creativity, and most important, results. Today, we're going to be discussing Levi's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Levi.
Thank you, Julia, for having me. I'm really excited to do this with you.
Absolutely. So to get started, I'd love to know, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, good question. I actually thought about this for a couple of days because I have a variety of reasons that inspired me.
Yes.
From childhood even. But to be really honest, what inspired me was in my community. It's a small city. About 110,000 people. Mm-hmm. And what I found oftentimes was that good talent that was coming out of university and college in media were having to move to bigger cities. So they were leaving this beautiful community and having to go to these other cities to actually, get work in this field. And so,
yes.
The biggest thing that I wanted to contribute, I guess, was to be able to offer career opportunities in marketing, in advertising, in this city, and grow the agency, attracting those university and college students coming out, giving them a place to learn, grow, and like I say, some of them have become very long-term employees, mm-hmm. And some of them we were able to provide the necessary training and education that allowed them to get their dream jobs.
Interesting. So are you located in a town then that has a college or university in the area?
Yeah, we have both. And don't quote me on this, but I believe our university is ranked like second or third in Canada, actually.
Interesting. I love that. Very cool. Yeah, it's so true. I was in that same boat. I graduated from advertising and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to, pick up and move to Toronto. That's going to be, the yep. place to be if you want to get a job in marketing or advertising. That was about 10 years ago. And I ended up feeling so strongly against wanting to move to a city because I had always grown up in a small town and I really did enjoy it. That I yeah. ended up just starting to freelance on the side and then started my own mm. agency. So
good for you.
but definitely that's not really common. And it's definitely, like you said, a lot of people, they struggle and they end up having to move to the cities to find those jobs. So that's
yeah,
really cool.
And I get the appeal too. I mean, bigger cities generally have higher income structures, but those higher income structures also come with higher cost of living.
Yeah.
Usually it's a little bit more hustle bustle. And so, like I say, the goal was really to provide a really family oriented agency, that we all worked together to achieve our goals, to help each other grow and learn from each other. And again, like I say, in some cases we had amazing people that chose to move on to, mm-hmm. Those bigger opportunities. And we were able to kind of provide them, like I say, that platform to be able to apply confidently. and get that dream job. And in lots of other cases, like I say, we retain people for years. So
very good. That's really interesting. I love that. So I'd love to know a little bit more about your story of starting Outrageous Advertising and, you know, what it was like in those early days when you were first starting out.
So funny. I moved to Canada, or I moved back to Canada. So long and short is I was born in Guatemala.
Okay.
Lived there for my, you know, younger years, and then came to school and kind of went back and forth throughout my teenage years. Mm-hmm. My dad owned a sports marketing agency in Guatemala, where I got to kind of get my feet wet in the marketing world at a younger age.
Yeah.
And I was really, really attracted to that. Long and short is I decided to move back to Canada in 2003. I had, you know, graduated in a marketing field, and I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a job when I moved back in this space. And so no matter how or where I applied, it was kind of a dead end.
Yeah.
So I had to go and work in finance, of all things, mm-hmm. And got into banking and lending and all that fun stuff. And did freelancing, as you mentioned earlier, kind of at night. And I thought to myself, like, how am I going to get into the career path that I want to get to? And what's the easiest way that I can get kind of as many clients as possible in the shortest period of time possible so that I can transition?
Yeah.
And so I saw an ad that popped up renting an office space, you know, a small 10 by 10 room, basically, in a real estate brokerage. And okay. The real estate brokerage had, I believe at the time, around 50 agents. And so I thought to myself, well, hey, these people work at night. They're doing showings. They have to go in and out of the office. What a great way to start really building a network. And so I did that in 2005,
mm-hmm.
Under a different company called Echo Media. That was my small, you know, self-employed name.
Yep.
A couple of years later, I met the owner of Artrageous. So actually, just to backtrack, Artrageous has been around since 1994. I bought it in 2008. I was doing work for them. And one day the gentleman walked into my office and I just asked him if he'd be interested in selling. And
interesting.
Said, yeah. So it took a couple of years to work out the details and get it all settled up financially.
Yeah.
But yeah, in 2008, I officially owned Artrageous and
interesting.
And took over the name and business and have been growing it ever since.
Oh, that's so cool. So what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome when you first bought the company out?
Oh, well, to be honest, it was just trying to determine what direction to go to. I think my case may be a little bit different than some of the other folks I've been able to hear on your podcast, in that Artrageous here was realistically an ad platform. And so with my marketing, being a solopreneur at the time, it was like feast or famine, right? I had to do the sales, I had to do the work. And as I was doing the work, then obviously I couldn't do the sales. So
right.
I was really looking for a way to create a more steady stream of income, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with the least barrier, least amount of work possible, so it would allow me to continue to do what I really love to do. And so Artrageous was dedicated to all things bathroom advertising.
Okay. Interesting.
The company actually owned all the boards that were, you know, in men's and women's washrooms.
Yeah.
And it was doing quite well in that space at the time.
Yeah.
So I was able to take that over, and that became kind of, let's call it my sigh of relief, if you will, to be able to then actually focus on being able to grow the business. So that provided, let's say, the financial means in terms of just a steady stream of income.
Yes.
That allowed me to really look and say, okay, what do I want to do? How do I want to accomplish it? What's it going to take to get there? And fast forward, and you know, we've grown into a great boutique agency, and we grew the company 10 to 11 times bigger than it was when I bought it. So
that's such a great story. I love that. And what a unique niche to, you know, get started in. Yeah. Very cool. Very unique. Yeah. So what types of services do you guys specialize in? You know, do you still have the media space that you're selling? Tell us a little bit more about, you know, the types of services now that you guys specialize in.
Yeah. So I'm really fascinated more so in the digital space. So we really are a full service digital agency. And the services that we offered in the past, the washroom advertising, we actually sold that 3 years ago. To another individual, and she's doing great with that. But it wasn't the direction of our company. It was a starting point. Mm-hmm. But the goal was always to really be very strong in the digital space.
Interesting. Okay. So how do you currently grow the agency? So how are you bringing in more leads into Artrageous and, you know, closing those prospects?
Good question. Again, we kind of take an approach that realistically, I guess, goes after multiple areas. Mm-hmm. You know, I make sure, let me backtrack, I guess. Realistically, my goal at the end of the day is to make sure that my staff think like a CEO. You know, the goal is for one of them at some point to kick me out of my seat. And that's how I really like to engage with my staff is, you know, I want them to be the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And so going back to your question, whether it's networking groups, you know, I make sure that they're signed up to the networking groups and not myself, so that they can learn pitching, they can learn about, you know, the challenges and pain points directly from a customer's or potential customer's mouth. Mm-hmm. In those groups, we obviously do our own SEO and our own digital marketing to attract clients that way. And we also do a lot of relationship building and cold calling. So we do have a business development executive, and their focus is to go after our dream 100 clients. So we've created a list of our dream 100 clients.
Yep.
And we go after that list relentlessly.
That's awesome. So what are some ways that you really try to, you know, get on the radar of your dream 100 clients?
How do we get on the radar of them?
Yeah. Like, how do you really break through the competition? And because so many businesses get, you know, bombarded by, you know, people doing the cold outreach. So it can be hard to kind of break through and really create that connection with the business owner. So how do you guys do that?
You know, I'm trying to also give you answers that maybe not have been used too much in the past. So I would say my answer would be just to not give up. And be personable. So one of the things that I think addresses what you're saying is, you know, these CEOs or business owners, they're getting hundreds of messages, you know, offering all kinds of, you know, digital marketing services, you name it.
Yeah.
And so obviously you can get lost in that mix. And so even though we live in a digital age, I still really believe in the personal touch.
Yes.
So making sure that our outreach is through the phone, making sure that we're doing video calls, not just email, making sure that we're showing up. So even if the client is located 4 or 5 or 6 hours away, we'll drive there.
Very cool.
We want to make sure that the relationships that we're building are personal. And so to do that, we have to show that we are different and that we care, that we want to learn and listen. And basically the motto in our office is, we want to be your partner, not a vendor. If you're looking for a vendor, go ahead and look on Fiverr.
You guys aren't going to be a fit for that.
yeah, there's plenty of vendors out there that are gonna beat us on price, even sometimes speed. But really what we're looking for, I attribute it kind of like a marriage. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to work with the companies that when things are good, obviously they're good, but when things are bad, I want us to be able to talk about it. I want us to have conversations and talk about how we're going to overcome those obstacles and not just someone that's looking to move on to a new shiny toy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think it makes such a big difference when you've really put an emphasis on that you guys are going to be working together as a team. You know, you're really committed to their success and it just comes through in the quality of work that you're able to produce.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So, you know, since 2008, when you took over the agency, fast forward to today, what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown outrageous?
Huh. Well, I'm going to be extremely raw with you on this one. So I've always considered our agency since 2008 to really try and find ways to pioneer, if you will, or enhance marketing spaces in one way or another. And
interesting.
At the time it would have been actually 2015 was a really challenging time. Again, going back to my real estate networking background, I noticed that there was a gap that needed to be filled. And there was a company that provided it. They're a national company. Mm-hmm. And they just weren't providing some of the things that these customers were really looking for. Yeah. And so I found a way to build that. Long and short, I got sued. I got sued. They came after me to basically try and, you know, put me out of business. It was literally a David and Goliath situation.
Interesting. So who was trying to sue you? Was it a competitor or was it a client?
Yeah, it was a competitor.
Okay.
But what I learned about that is that it doesn't matter who's right. It matters who has deeper pockets. Mm. Because they can make things go for years. And force you to spend money with obviously lawyers in order to overcome it. So the long and short is it ended up fading away and everything was fine. But it was 3 years of hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in right. legal fees. And and so it was a really, really challenging time. And at the end of the day, I always called it a win because the company that ended up taking that action ended up implementing all the things that we had brought to the table for that niche. So it was a win for the real estate agents in our area that were able to then get the service that they had always wanted.
That's a really good way of looking at it.
So it cost me money, but at the end of the day, we were still able to innovate, even though it didn't work out at the end of the day in the same way we were hoping for.
You know, is there anything that you learned from that experience that you think maybe could help prevent something like that happening in the future? Or was it, there was no way to really prevent something like that from happening?
That one was a unique situation because it wasn't really anything we did wrong.
Right.
So much as it was just, hey, you know, they wanted to make sure that we weren't going to take market share in that particular endeavor. And that was their way of kind of trying to combat us to make sure that we weren't going to take that market share. So again, it wasn't anything that we infringed on or did inappropriately. Like it was nothing like that. It was just merely a, hey, we can't lose the business to these, you know, to this small agency.
Yeah.
Let's show them who's boss kind of thing. And so, yeah, I always called it my next form of university education, because obviously we spent quite a lot of money at it, and I got to learn a lot about legal aspects of things that I had no idea in the past, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting. So such a frustrating experience, but you definitely have a good take on it. You know, it definitely brought to the industry, to the niche that you serve, some really great services as a result. So
yeah.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but you know, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners?
I just go back to being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Understand what it is you want to accomplish. Take the time to sit down and figure out the steps you're going to take to accomplish your goals. To know that overnight success is 20 years in the making oftentimes.
Yes, totally.
And so just to stay focused, whether you're going to work in a specific niche or whether you're going to be full service, whatever it is that you're aspiring to do, mm-hmm. Make sure that you're staying true to that, not forgetting about where you want to go. And again, just taking the steps to be there little by little, by little, by little, because eventually you'll get there.
Yeah. Just having that consistency and that patience, I think, is so important. I mean, you've got to have that urgency behind, you know, the patience at the same time, but, it's true. You just got to keep at it, and you're going to have those setbacks along the way, you know, those frustrations from time to time, but, definitely that hard work will pay off in the long run.
Well, there's no linear path to success is the way that I even talk about it with our team. It's a roller coaster. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. But I really think the key is just to, again, stay true to yourself. You know, one of the things that even our agency really focuses on is, I've heard it before, but really about transparency, education, with our customers, really helping them understand the digital space while listening and understanding their business, right? And their goals and their pain points. So finding a kind of common ground to help them in the area that we're experts in, and understanding the area that they're experts in, so that we can really be a strong team together.
I love that. Yes, it's so true. You know, just having that transparency, that open communication, it's so important to just have that smooth working relationship and ensure that everyone's on the same page at the end of the day.
Well, believe it or not, Julie, that's honestly probably the number one thing we've heard during the last year. Mm-hmm. Has been, you know, we've worked with a freelancer, an agency, or even really a national service provider in some digital capacity. And I don't know what the reason behind it is, but we literally hear this weekly. I don't get reports. I have no idea where our money is going.
Wow.
We paid up front and we never got contacted again. I don't have the answer. I don't know why that's happening, mm-hmm. per se. Mm-hmm. But it's surprising. It's surprising to see.
Is.
So, you know, even when we meet with our team, I say, you know, no matter how we're feeling, even if sometimes we're feeling like we're hitting a wall in some cases in our outreach efforts and educational efforts, as long as we're doing the right thing and we're living by those ethical rules that we've put in place, we can always hold our head high. And that's what matters the most.
Yeah. And that's what's going to build that trust with your clients at the end of the day and, you know, bring in those referrals as well to help grow your agency.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So where do you see Outrageous advertising in 5 years' time?
To be honest, we'd like to double our employee base. So right now we're fairly small. We roughly hover around a team of 10. So I'd like to get the agency to about 20 individuals working here.
Nice.
I'd like to do that through really being able to service clients across Canada, particularly through different partnership efforts. I can't speak to those specifically right now, but but ultimately, just really focusing on growing outside of our, let's call it local-ish trading area, mm-hmm. And bringing that same level of value and transparency that we've been able to offer, you know, on a localized basis, on a more national level. So that's where I would really, really like to see us grow, is to really get a little bit more in the national space.
Awesome. Very exciting. Lots of exciting things to work towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
I'm ready.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, I'm going to have to say two, actually. My two favorites have been Clockwork by, and I always probably butcher his last name, but I believe it's Mike Mihalovich.
Okay.
Something like that. I always butcher the last name. but it's just really a fantastic book about, you know, really building your business so that you can work on your business and not in your business.
Yes.
And I've always really, really been a strong proponent of that, is, you know, obviously it doesn't mean that you don't want to work in your business. That's different. Mm-hmm. But that you should always be working towards making sure that your business can operate without you.
Yes.
So I use Kevin O'Leary's line a lot in our office that says, you know, whatever we do within our agency, you know, if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, can the pieces be picked up quickly and continued on? It sounds cold, but
it does, but it's so really true. Important. Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah.
The agency shouldn't hinge on just me, the owner. The other book that I really would recommend is The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. Fantastic.
Ooh, I want to read that.
Just a fantastic way to think about how to implement things in your business, mm-hmm. that really focus on repetition. I think that that's something that business owners sometimes forget. You know, we have this idea and we say, hey, let's implement this. And then we kind of have this expectation that, you know, with a team, everyone's just going to pick up and do what's needed. Mm-hmm. And even if you have great people, that's often not the case. You still have to drive the bus and implement things that ensure you're making progress. And so really just putting it on paper, getting it down, making sure that everybody understands that same vision, the same tactics, that they understand the strategy, that they're following a checklist.
Yes.
Right. And
yep.
So it sounds weird to say it out loud, because, you know, really it's just like, okay, you're just creating systems.
Yep.
But how important those systems are, and for everyone on your team to be a part of that system.
Yeah, of course. It's so important. And the EOS system has really helped us with, you know, we've implemented those systems, but then, you know, making sure that we're on track and that we're meeting those goals as well. So that's been an amazing system that we've implemented for sure to just help keep us on track.
I agree with that 100% too.
Yeah. Awesome. So next question, what does your morning routine look like?
Pretty much like everyone else's, I would assume. no, you know what? My wife and I, we have four children, so it can be a chaotic time. Well, all the time.
I can see that.
I typically get up around 5:30. I like to have a morning coffee. That gives me a time to just have a coffee and either listen to a podcast or listen to one of my audiobooks. It just helps me get focused and motivated for the day. Mm-hmm. It's also a way for me to just try and learn something new. That really is what it comes down to for me. I'm thirsty for knowledge. So
that's
I
awesome.
Love learning new things. From there, it's filling out our daily team brief. So looking at our morning meetings and working on an agenda of what are going to be our discussion points. So we do that on the daily. And that just helps the team always be in sync. Yeah, that's pretty much my morning routine. It's nothing exciting, that's for sure. I don't get to go to the gym because, again, in between that time, it's helping make lunches or taking one of our kids to school.
Yep.
So I kind of left that part out because it's not really that exciting. But
no, I like that though. You know, you've got that sort of routine where, you know, you listen to the podcast every morning with your coffee. So you've got that quiet time, and then you're also, you know, learning something new to start the day off. So I think that's really interesting.
Yes. To be honest, I usually have my coffee and do the podcast in my hot tub. That is
even better. Peaceful. That's incredible. Yeah,
right? It's peaceful, and it really does. It's super quiet time, so it does allow me to just really focus in on whatever it is that my mind is thinking about that day.
Yep.
Or what we can implement in the business that day, or even, as you asked earlier, you know, where do we see the business in 5 years?
Yeah, exactly. So cool. I love that. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Wow. That one is a tough one, honestly. I would honestly say I don't necessarily follow or study them specifically.
Yeah.
I appreciate the stories. How about that?
Yeah.
I appreciate the stories of looking at, you know, the big multinational entrepreneurs, you know, the Steve Jobs of the world, Warren Buffett's of the world.
Maybe you find it's more inspiring than necessarily, you know, studying them.
Well, and more so it's understanding, you know. I feel like a lot of people can look on those individuals and, again, assimilate overnight success.
Yeah.
And we forget how long it actually took them to get to the point where they became memorable.
I know.
You know, even like Steve Jobs, right? You know, he got fired from his own company. and then lo and behold, look what that turned out to look like in the end. So,
yes.
So what I look to in those CEOs is just to really listen to their stories. Mm-hmm. And try and take away anything that I feel that applies to my current situation or aspiration.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Well, I love CRMs.
Yes, me too.
I believe every business, no matter how small or big, absolutely has to have one.
Yeah.
So not to make the story long, but, you know, I struggled to find the right balance of a CRM for agency life. Mm-hmm. I tried a lot of project management systems. And a lot of them didn't offer, at least for my business type of thinking, some of the flexibilities I was looking for. So Scoro is our number one go-to recommendation.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it's basically all of the great customer management systems like Salesforce. It's mm-hmm. basically built into that. It's like Asana or Monday, where it's got the project management component.
Oh, cool.
But it's also got tools to set up all of your quoting and invoicing and creating all your custom dashboards. So I love it because it allows us to create all of these different dashboards to say, hey, I want to look at financials. I want to look at what's going on with our projects. I want to know what's going on with our sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And so realistically, that Scoro allowed me to wholeheartedly probably have a good, I'll say, finger on the pulse of my business.
Mm-hmm.
Within minutes. I can look at it at any moment in time, and within minutes be able to know what's happening and where areas that we need to, you know, address and look at that might be kind of going sideways, and what areas are going fantastic, and how to, you know, then start to replicate that.
That's really cool. And so, because you have so many moving parts going on within that software,
yep.
Did you hire someone to, you know, assist with implementing that? Or is that something that you guys just figured out internally?
So great question. I love that you asked that, because one of the biggest challenges as I was looking for software and actually purchasing software, a lot of times, you know, they made big promises And once you even paid for, you know, help with setup and so on and so on, the learning curves were really challenging.
Yes.
And so my belief, and maybe it's wrong, but my belief is that a system shouldn't be complicated. You should be able to, I use McDonald's as a reference, right? Like you should be able to bring in a 14, 15 year old, show them a video, and you know, the processes are in place for them to start serving food. Mm-hmm. And so the same applies to CRM. I'm like, why are all of these CRMs so difficult? And mm-hmm. so it wasn't until I came across Scoro that, yeah, I mean, they helped us with a couple of little things in terms of setting up our custom quotes. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you know, if you've been here for 2 days, you know how to use our software.
That's awesome.
And I shouldn't say our software, Scoro, it's their software, but that's what I really, really loved about it is like the learning curve is absolutely minimal.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
What's one thing I wish I would know? Well, a couple of things, I guess, really. But just one is the ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, not to be, just because you think you have the best idea doesn't mean it is, right? So be fluid, adapt, you know, be open to change. Even though you have a plan in place, you know, you have to be open to change. And the other one realistically is understanding your numbers. You know, when I first started in business, I honestly didn't know how to properly read profit and loss statements and balance sheets and you know, the necessary tools to know the numbers.
Right.
And it took me a couple of years to get there and really understand them. And so I have some business partners now in the business, and it's great. They can call me at any given moment in time, any day of the week. There isn't a number that they can't ask me about that I have an answer for.
I love that.
And so my advice is really just to understand your numbers so that you have your finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. It will wholeheartedly help you make smart business decisions. Mm-hmm. And within that same, hire the accounting out, right?
Yes.
Especially in this life, you know, or in this business, you're in creativity spaces and data, obviously, but we're in a creative environment. And I would really recommend for people to get a bookkeeper, you know, if you're really small, or again, hire an accounting department or team, even if it's outsourced, to handle the books. And then your job should be to just understand the numbers as they're being inputted so you can catch if something's wrong or what's going right.
Yes, I think that's really great advice. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's my best advice anyway.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Levi. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I love learning about your story and your journey. So thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure, honestly. And I love what you're doing in just shining a spotlight onto agency life and helping us learn from each other. So I think that's really special.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.